Our scripture for today is from the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 9, and the first seven verses. At least I think that's what that is. I want to be sure. Yes, because I unfortunately give Darwin the wrong number of verses at times, but this time I gave him the right one. So this is 1 Kings 9, verses 1 through 7. When Solomon finished building the temple of the Lord, the royal palace, and all that that Solomon desired to do, the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time, just as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. The Lord said to him, now this is the Lord speaking to Solomon, I have heard your prayer and petition you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple you have built to put my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there at all times. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, with a heart of integrity and in what is right, doing everything I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and ordinances, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised your father David. This is the promise to the father David. You will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. If you or your sons turn away from following me and do not keep my commands, my statutes that I have set before you, and if you go and serve other gods and bow down and worship to them, I will cut off Israel from the land I gave them, and I will reject the temple I have sanctified in for my name. Israel will become an object of scorn and ridicule among all the peoples. The Lord made many covenants, and always in those covenants, it was, I will do this if you will honor me and do that. And so he gives this covenant to Solomon. Now, again, this is kind of a strange way to begin a Father's Day message, but whoever accused me of being just a regular guy. So yes, I'm going to start my Father's Day message by something that I learned from my mother. And I have to tell you, this is actually appropriate for me to speak of my mother today. Today, June the 16th, is my mother's birthday. She would be turning 114 today. God bless and rest her soul. Here's what she taught me that's important for today's message. One day when she was in her 70s and I was in my early 50s, she said something to me about being her child. I said, Mom, I'm not your child now. I'm your son. No, Stephen, she quickly and quietly responded, you and your brothers, you will always be my children. I laughed that off and passed it off as sort of the thinking of a sweet but aging woman. And then as my own children and I have gotten older, I'm now in touch with her wisdom. To loving parents who really care and want to stay in touch with their offspring, our kids really do always remain our children. And that's not derogatory or belittling in any way. That has a sense of familiarity and intimacy about it, a closeness of relationship that makes it a relationship of closeness. And here's how that relates to today. I'm going to be referring often today to fathers and their children. And you need to know when I say their children, I mean their offspring of any age. Well, like Paul back there, he's our child. One of our four children, all over the age of 30, even though Paul, as the oldest of 53, doesn't look much like a kid now. So remember all of that, that I'm going to use this word children often today, and when I do, it is about our offspring of any age. And now here's a little, well, it's sort of fun and sort of sad with some truth to it. A family sociologist asked a group of fifth graders, what does it mean to be a father? And here's a couple of their answers, straight from the mouths of 10-year-olds. It means getting a good job and making a lot of money. It means going to work in the morning and coming home with a headache. And some related answers painted pictures of a grim man who works hard, a man who has little fun, a man of their house who, it appears, feels no joy, a dad who seldom spends time with his children. And so with that sad, but I think oh so truthful words from kiddos, we need to have some straight talk today about fathers. And my hope is that this message will enable each father to avoid such a picture, as you've just heard, and rather to be the kind of dad to his child, to each of his children, that they need. And not only that, the kind of father his children can look up to and honor. I got that idea from one of the earliest mandates for child-parent relationships that we have on the record. That mandate is found in the basic theological and moral code of human behavior that's found in what we call the Ten Commandments. Number 5 of the 10 is this familiar moral code: honor your father and mother so that you may have a long life in the day in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Exodus 20:12. So you see, children of all ages, while you're commanded by God to honor your father, dads of all ages need to fit God's expectation of fathers. Be the dad your children can and want to honor. And that thought leads us in natural progression to, what does a father need to do to be worthy of the honor of his children? Father's Day Sunday is a pretty good day to seek an answer to that question. And I'll suggest 2 things for starters. And I'm going to encourage all of us fathers, I'm including in this, to add to that short list as we love and as we ruminate and as we cogitate and as we deliberate on our own children of our own home. In other words, how we make this personal for our own father-child relationships here and now. 1, a father needs to see the importance of his own masculine father image influences. Do you see how that influences thinking of being a dad? What that's all about. And 2, along those same lines, a father needs to understand how strong the influence is of what his child or his children see in him and hear from him. And just as a simple and quick laying of a ground rule here, many of my remarks will feature, will actually affect both a father and mother, because it's our day, guys. My references will feature fathers, parents. No disparagement to mothers. So first, each father needs to see the importance that the male masculine father image of dad is of influence to being a model dad to his children, no matter whether it's to sons or to daughters. Interesting but important fact. Several studies through the American Psychiatric Association have revealed that simply the presence or the absence of a father most significantly influences children's concept of sexual identity. Children, both male and female, who have a good father image and his influence is good, are much more able to relate well and appropriately to anyone of the opposite sex from early childhood on. That's psychiatric studies. And the opposite is true. Children who are not as fortunate to have a good father image and influence in their home are unfortunately, but so true, more likely to have some trouble, major or minor, relating to others of the other sex. And the implications of that are tremendous. And they've been even more so, they've become even more so, in what is developing in our modern world to be a less and less well-defined gender identity. And then studies have also revealed that the parental and social behavior of fathers most significantly influences the behavior socially of their children out in the world. Children who, because of parental actions and activities, are not well adjusted to their parents, don't have good communication with them, again, studies show, are more likely to succumb to the use of alcohol, and more now in the 21st century, even drugs, than those who have a good, healthy model and relationship in their home, with the father's influence being the most likely to have either positive effect, so let's work on that one, or negative. So let's also work to avoid this effect. And the second of these two things, that every father who seeks the God-assigned honor of parents from children needs to understand is this: the strong, influential impact on what his child sees in him and hears from him. What are some of the things children should see in a father that make for good influence? Well, children should see and feel their father's interest in the things he sees and notices as specific and perhaps even new things in which his children are showing interest. Things such as games or grades or school or friends. Children should see their father working. Now, this is difficult under certain circumstances where outsiders are not allowed, such as a dad who does work on a guided missile system. But if it can be arranged, and most of the time it can, it is helpful. And that's why we have the annual Bring Your Child to Work Days here in the United States. It encourages creativity in children, helps them to better understand the value of a father's contribution to the working world, and how that kind of work generates the money the family needs to run the household and put food on the table. And such lessons should always include the role a parent plays in the godly household. In a Christian home, reminders should start early. They should be emphasized frequently that God initiated the first work. And thus, work is a godly thing. Genesis 2:2. On the seventh day, God had completed his work he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work he had done. And a good Christian father will help his children to know that although it will not be our work that saves us in heaven, that's the role of God's grace, still, the work we do is known by God and will be rewarded for those who get to heaven. Well, you might be interested to know there are at least 625 plus references to work and working in the Bible, with more than 200 of them in the New Testament. And just like starting with the work of God in those first few verses of Genesis, the last reference to work is the one I just mentioned about the rewards of work in heaven. It's in the last 10 verses of the Holy Bible in Revelation 22:12, where Jesus said, "Look, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay each person according to his work." So it's a very much a concept of the Bible that children should see their father at work. Children should see their father express emotions of love and affection. Read to and teach them, father, the love truths of 1 Corinthians 13, of John 13, 34 and 35. The children of a Christian home should see in their father righteous anger. The insight of the psalmist, Psalm 4:4. Be angry and do not sin. On your bed, reflect in your heart and be still. Now, you might be puzzled about how the psalmist ends that instruction. On your bed, reflect in your heart and be still. Perhaps Paul may have thought those in Ephesus might not understand the nuance there also. So he quotes Psalm 4 and he adds his spiritual insight. Be angry and do not sin. And this is how he interprets that, on your bed, reflect in your heart. He finishes out Ephesians 4:26 with, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. That means, you know, in your bed to me. The point is, children should see their father get righteously, spiritually angry at some things. But that anger also needs to have the father's children see him resolve that anger before God and before the sun goes down. Children should see their father at worship consistently and devotedly. This should be seen at home in family worship and at church in public worship. I think most of us have found that it's not too hard to bring our younger kids to church. You can even start them when they're 3 or 4 weeks old. But as they get older, it is no longer just a given. And I have to bare my soul here and say aloud, I am still working on getting two of my four adult children back to the Sunday worship they grew up with. But I'll also tell you, their father talks to them often about it, and they do not go a week without seeing their father committed to Sunday worship. Kind of helps that I'm a preacher. But I sincerely believe if I weren't, they would still see their father be where he ought to be every week, worshiping God with the fellowship of a church. And finally, what are some of the things that children should hear from their father that make for a good influence? Children should hear their father pray. Specific objects of prayer ought to be mentioned, not just generalities. For instance, friends and even missionaries at times should be called by name as it comes time for the father to be praying. Certainly the father can and should be a prayer leader, but his prayers, his encouragement should lead children also to be able to pray aloud with the family. Children should be led to pray for their pastor, for the sick, for people in trouble, and be sure to include prayers for the lost. Children should hear their father read the Bible. And I think you know the reason I always end our scripture reading time here on Sunday mornings with, and may the Lord bless our reading of His Word and our hearing of it. Yes. Yes. I see, that's my reference to Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ, about Christ. Family devotions are a superb place for a father's children to hear him read the Bible. And I don't know about the experience of your family, but again, I have to make a sad admission. My family was lacking in this regard and would have been strengthened, I know, by regular family devotions. Children should hear their father extol the virtues of others and hear him speak words of encouragement and commendation and words of helpfulness. Children should seldom, if ever, hear derogatory remarks, degrading comments, or criticism come from the mouth of their father. A father's going to have an abundance of those bad encounters in our worldly society, but commentary and the seeking of help by the father with any of those kinds of encounters should be kept to his private prayer encounters with his Heavenly Father. Children should hear their father supporting and upholding the roles of leadership and authority, such as pastors, Sunday school teachers, publicly elected officers, law enforcement and safety officers, and such. They should also hear their fathers support institutions, such as the home and the church and schools, and the institutions of the state, those institutions that serve as the backbone of our nation. In like manner, children should hear their father openly but constructively condemning evils and injustices and wrongs. In other words, always attempting to let his children hear his ideas about how wrongs possibly can be made right. And not to be left to the end, but given primary emphasis, children should often hear their father say, "I love you," specifically to them, calling them by name and with a hug. Well, my friends, and especially us guys today, true fatherhood is an awesome responsibility, but it's oh so meaningful and fulfilling. And so today, your Father's Day, men, shucks, only comes once a year. But seriously, fathers, take this seriously. Look to your Father, our Maker, our Heavenly Father, as your source, as the source of wisdom and strength. Spend much time in reading your Bible, listening to what your Lord says to you by the written word. Pray often, giving thanks and seeking divine guidance. And I'd say, if this was good for that wise man Solomon, it's good enough for us. Amen. We can hope we have had a father who walked before God as King David did. And even more so, we can desire to be ourselves a father to our children who will walk as King David did. He pleased God. Our text, verses 4 and 5. If you walk before me as your father David walked, with a heart of integrity and in what is right, doing everything I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and ordinances, I will establish your royal throne. And fathers, may God establish his royal throne over each of our homes. And the Lord bless us.